Hey, friends, just a reminder, this podcast is for entertainment and personal reflection. If you are taking any of my words as infallible advice, please don't. That's not what I'm here for. All I can do is tell you about my experience and what I've seen. So that's it. That's what you can get from me, your fucked up friend Jess. And please don't expect anything more than that. I can't handle any more fawning, okay? Thanks. Shortly moments, we can't do anything. The fucking joke is, we're winning when you blink. And shortly moments, last you with victory. Hey, motherfuckers, it's me. I'm back to finally talking about relationships, like I keep promising. Clearly, I have a lot of my own life drama and upset going on, but I really want to dive into this topic. And I also really want to dive into doing the show in a way that I enjoy, that's good for my brain, that's creative and also healing for me and allows me to have a life. So here's the deal. This is going to start sounding less like I'm writing a new thesis every single week. There are still going to be long scientific reports that I'm going to give you, but I also want to have more like, let's just talk about this experience and talk about what I think is happening without all of the jargon all the time. How does that sound? Because that's where I'm at this point. So today I wanted to jump into just doing kind of a recap and then an extension on what we have learned about connections and expectations and brain patterning so far, especially in the context of our early relationship establishments. Consider this part one of a pretty casual talk about what the fuck happens when we get into romantic relationships. How many parts are there going to be to this series? I don't know. I could probably talk about it forever based on what I've seen recently. But for now, let's start somewhere. And let me drop all of this perfectionistic bullshit that I've been up to and this pretending like I am running some kind of actual production over here when in fact it's just me figuring shit out. And I can't expect any more from myself. And if the rest of you expect anything more from me, fuck off. Go listen to somebody else. I give up. I don't care. I'm tired of this project running itself and running me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not. We're going to talk about it more soon. Today, let's talk about relationships and let's dive into something that I think we're all pretty passionate about learning more about. What happens in our heads after we've had a lifetime of relational trauma? And then we also can't live without new relational trauma in our lives over and over and over and over again. Let's dig in. Great. So where to start with all of the dumb brain games that ultimately ruin our relationships and kind of tend to also ruin our lives? Let's just maybe back up and start to reiterate a bit of what we have learned from the past few months of episodes. Honestly, it's been a really dense year of learning so far. So let's take a step here. We already know that we grow up biologically driven to adopt other people's brain patterning, right? As in, we've learned that we take on their actual neural structuring that is in their brains and build them in ours. And when we say neural structuring, I mean the cells that connect to other cells that contain all of the information that we ever absorb and create chains of thoughts and behavioral instructions, and generally our appraisals of everything. Now, because of our need to understand the people who are around us, the ones who are keeping us alive, the connections that they make between their various compartments of their brains, between stimulation and reactive behaviors, between events and their interpretations of those events, those things are all going to be transmitted into us based on our inherent drive to mirror other people in our drive for connection, in our drive for not starving to death and being left in a field to be eaten. Now, at the same time, we also learned in the, hey, here's what happens when your parents are emotional messes episode, that our brains are impacted physiologically by cellular changes in our emotional regulation centers, our nervous systems, and our danger detecting centers, right? So all in all, this means with families like ours, assuming you're here to learn about complex trauma, we tend to build very unhealthy brains. Yeah, like it's not even up for debate. It's just a fact. And if you want, you can walk away from this episode right now, assured that the disaster, which is known as your personal life, kind of couldn't have crumbled any other way when the rules of engagement were written by idiots. Okay, sorry. Idiots isn't a fair name. I'm sorry. They're actually just extremely scared, extremely self-protective, and often extremely delusional members of the I believe in the crap sold to me by the human race. Race. Yeah. But the point is, when it comes down to our thinking organs and therefore all of the options that we have in life, really consider that. Everything that we can possibly do in life is based on how our brain develops and the connections that are made in it. Well, biologically, we are going to be negatively impacted by people who are negative, who are rigid, and who are incapable of self-regulation. And as far as these instruction systems that contain all of our behavioral and cognitive abilities go, we wind up being carbon copies of messy humans who probably haven't done so well for themselves with their own lives. And then we arrive on this planet and unknowingly accept their ideas about how to do it. And then we build bigger and more pervasive brain programs as we progress through life, following those initial instructions. And then we wonder why we aren't doing so fucking well by the time we hit our, I'm going to say mid-20s. Yeah. Well, the same thing goes for our relationships, which actually I believe is kind of the reason why we aren't doing so well by the time we hit our mid-20s. I think that it might be fine when we develop some early distant friendships and coworker collaborations to be operating on kind of faulty brain wiring. We might still be loved and accepted by our bosses and teachers and have positive regard from interactions with distant friends who we only see at school. You know, we can kind of handle those loose social associations and friendships. And we might actually also get a stronger sense of self and some self-confidence from like arm's length relationships. But I think that it's when it comes down to more significant relationships, like having people who are really close to us that we rely on, that's when things get really messy. Because we only know life through the context of being around significant people in our early lives who were tumultuous and problematic, right? So we wind up living by their agreed upon rules for life, mirroring their demonstrated behaviors, whether or not we mean to. And when all of that starts crumbling around us in our like early to mid 20s, when we're trying to really figure out our place on this earth, I think that's when a lot of our bad brain patterning in a traumatic mental health problematic way erupts, you know? So, anyways, knowing what you now know about covert abuse, like what that really looks like and just how subtle it can really be, I think it's just a good thing to start asking how many of your early experiences that have caused a lot of your brain problems were actually based on your foundational family dynamic issues. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about when your mental health struggles really started. And yeah, it's kind of depressing, right? Well, it's kind of never over because your brain being fucked by your family and then your early relationships with bosses who are controlling your life and with significant others who mean your life or death in your head. It's one thing. It's troublesome in those early years. But here's the kicker. For the rest of your life, whoever you continue ending up with in any of these associations is probably going to have a personality system that feels similar to those early experiences. And it's probably going to be someone who thinks similarly to those early people and behaves similarly to those early people. Because when we connect with people who are our people, right? We don't enjoy neural dissimilarity on pretty much any level. We like brain organs that work the same way as ours does when it's around interacting in the world. And you know, there are a surprising number of families that have similar narratives and emotional lives and behaviors as yours did, therefore producing people with the same patterning. So even though your family probably seemed very uniquely fucked up, especially when you start comparing them to your friends and your new partners, I think that actually we just tend to present in different ways while we're having a lot of the same problems going on under the surface. So one narc mom doesn't necessarily look the same as another narc mom from the outside. Narc dads, narc siblings, narc grandparents, same thing. And don't even get me started on the narc step anythings. I think that's a whole new level of disaster. But underneath it, we have the same oppositional programming going on. Covert abuse can take on a lot of forms. Addiction and aggression can too. Mental control, gaslighting, and self-esteem attacks can look a whole lot of ways. So we think that our families are so different from our partners, often because we intentionally choose people who have outwardly distinct backgrounds, and then we like to call it safe. It looks better than what we're used to, at least, right? But underneath it all, by connection definition, the beliefs about self and others and the planet have to be semi-shared with our closest friends and fuckable others, or else we would just face way too much friction even trying to have basic conversations with them, like let alone getting anything done together, choosing a place to eat, or making big life plans with each other. We simply have to be neurologically similar to some extent, or our interactions wouldn't work. It would just feel like a lot of pointless, unfulfilling work. So all of that being said, knowing that connection is basically brain consistencies among strangers, really think about that. The thing that we love the most, this addictive connection thing, is brain consistencies between complete strangers. Do you think that we bond most with people who meet us here in our present day, like reasonable adult developed with broad views on life, neural networks? Or do you think that we naturally tend to click with the folks who share modern brain connections and a whole hell of a lot of those old ones that we've already described as being extremely unhealthy as well? Think about it. Like, who really gets you? Is it someone who connects with what you sort of have started figuring out in the past few years? You know, like when at the same time you're feeling all imposter syndrome-y about everything you're doing and extremely unsure of how it's actually going to pan out in the future because expectations tend to always skew towards disaster? Or do you think you're going to connect more with someone who makes you feel deeply seen, all the way down to the voice in your head, your emotional memories, your inner doubts as much as your triumphs, and the intimate early development experiences that make you feel so special? The narrative that has held steady the longest and seen the most shit, even if it is also filled with the most shit. What do you think? Well, I can't speak for any of you, but I know what tends to happen with me. Give me the second option. For me, the historical connection has to be there. It's the thing that makes me feel like I belong and I am actually being accepted through and through. I mean, like, if you show up in my life, don't bond with the person you see here now. Like, this confident and capable human is kind of new. I don't know if I really trust them myself. I'd say you should go back and bond with the person who actually wanted relationships in the first place and had a lot of wild expectations for them, being back when I was a naive child, which really says a lot about our parts roles in our relationship lives as well, now, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, think about it. Like, who do you bond with if you look back at your life history? And as who shows up on the first date versus who is showing up on the fifth one? For a lot of us, I think it's our most idyllic brain networks that take over the show when we're digging into meeting someone new or when we're first having those lovey ideas, you know, in the early stages when the stakes are low. That's when I think we engage our stomach butterflies and then eventually flip into a younger personality with a heightened expectation for how amazing other humans are and how we're going to fucking kill this relationship. This time, we've got it. So naive. And the necessary networks for all of that programming were going to be built up way back in the day when you were still looking at relationships with fresh eyes, trying to figure out what you believed was normal. And that means, you know, running on pretty delusional and sickly operational manuals, even if at the same time they were kind of largely romantic and better feeling than what you're probably experiencing today. And all of this being said, I think that our brain patterning for relationships consists of, number one, being unrealistic because we develop it when we don't know anything about the world or other people or how we relate to other people yet, let alone how we feel about ourselves or relate to ourselves. Number two, I think that our brain patterning for relationships is unhealthy, period. But this is explicitly because it's, number three, based on knowing next to nothing and accepting what we see around us as what we should do in the complete absence of other educational material options. And our brain patterning is also addictively tuned into, number four, relational stimulation that triggers us into younger, less reasonable, more excitable neural networks, which are, number five, desperate for validation and attention, and therefore, number six, likely to attract people who are similarly pushed into immature, family-based learning, someone please save me and tell me I'm worth something, behavioral programs, which, let me throw in a number seven, are going to be just as unhealthy as our families ever were. And you know, I think in seven steps, I believe that about wraps it all up. Those are our relationship problems. That's why everything sucks. That's why we relive the same issues over and over again. So here you go, one more time. You could just stop listening to this episode now and walk away. At least for me, all of these things are completely true and they explain everything, pretty much everything that I need to know so I can have some self-acceptance and start analyzing my relationships with clear eyes that obviously reveal all of the problems that I've encountered time and time and time again. How about you? Yeah, maybe the same, but I think we all really love to dive deeper into a real shit show. So fuck it. Let's keep talking. What else is going wrong? And that's it, unless you want to hop on over to the Patreon where we keep talking about relationships for another half an hour. And yeah, we're going to pick up there again next time. And I don't know, maybe next time and possibly next time. It's a deep well to draw from, let me say. So if you're still wondering about fucked up relationships, there's a lot to be discussed. I will catch up with you guys next week, or I will see you right away in the Patreon if you want to jump in right now. See you there, and take care, motherfuckers. Bye. You think in short-lived moments, we can't do anything. We're fucking jokers, we're winning when you blink. In short-lived moments, I'll see with victory. Well, hey, fucker. If you're new around here or just getting into tackling your trauma, or maybe you've just been a bit resistant to venture into new territory, I wanted to tell you about the private Traumatized Motherfuckers support community and the full podcast stream. We call it the Blanket Fort. It's where we now keep all of the information and personal sharing that might be a bit risky to throw at, you know, the entire world. Our abusers and toxic partners, very often included. Yeah, hard lessons learned, like usual. So, if you're looking for more research, reflection, and real-life stories from motherfuckers like you, I can tell you where to find the password for the fort. Hit up patreon.com and search Traumatized Motherfuckers to stream, I don't know, 40-something exclusive podcast episodes so far, available right now. Get the exercise and application streams, and also jump into the community. It's available on patreon.com and on Discord. What have we already talked about on the Patreon? Narcissistic parents, neglectful effects on your young brain, cognitive and emotional synchrony, dissociative identities, abuse, boundaries, brain patterning, enmeshment, relational trauma, and all of the other goodies. So hop into the land of misfit toys, opt into the Discord, and be sure to tune in for the new all-day Wednesday discussion panels. Answer all of the polls and try to learn from people who really get what you are going through. Plus, talk to this grumpy old fucker over here if you're real desperate. Trauma recovery is hard work, but that doesn't mean you have to hate every second of it. Ditch the toxic positivity. Stop apologizing for being you. Start finding education and self-acceptance, and say goodbye to the generational trauma traces in your life. We're all working on it. I'll see you in the Blanket Fort at patreon.com/traumatizedmotherfuckers, in the DMs, and the Patreon-only Discord when you're ready to get started. Bye, fucker.